Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-Aliyy al-Azim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last night we continued our discussion about the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having a society for mankind in which justice and then other values which come under justice would be implemented. And we talked about the historical role of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. We talked about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We talked about the central role of Mecca in this plan. And those who have not been able to listen to the lecture last night, I hope inshallah they can listen later. And Alhamdulillah, also I made a summary of the lecture also available online. So I am not going to repeat, but please, you know, go back and refresh yourself because these are very important points for our discussion. The last verse that we discussed was from Surah Baqarah, verse 143. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. As you remember, we said before this sentence and after this sentence, there's a discussion about change of qibla, direction for prayer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside this discussion makes a very general point. Sometimes in the Quran you have very important points covered and surrounded by some issues that may not be in the first place, you know, related. Like for example, you know, many verses about imama and wilaya are surrounded by discussions that may not look, you know, relevant. Like for example, in the beginning of Surah Ma'idah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about what type of things you can eat and what you cannot eat, then in the middle Allah says al-yawm ya'isa alladhina kafaru min dinikum fala takhshaw al-yawm akmaltu lakum dinakum. Or in Surah Ahzab, in the middle of discussion about the wives of the Prophet, then Allah talks about ahlul bayt with different pronouns, innama yuridullahu liyuthiba ankum rijsa ahlil bayt. So you have to always read the Quran as a text which is interconnected, interrelated. Don't just pick up, you know, one sentence and try to understand, but at the same time you have to understand that Allah may give you general rules which are mentioned for a context but can be going beyond that context. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have made you a middle, a balanced nation. We said that this this making is not in the generative way, in takwini way, in the way that Allah creates something. Because when Allah creates something, then that is definitely according to what He wants. If He wants to create a human being or an animal or a plant, that is going to happen. If Allah wants to make someone, man or woman, tall or short, that is definitely happening. When it comes to His takwin, to his generation. But we have also legislation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes law, makes commands, makes some decision, but sometimes it is left to us to practice. Of course, we will be asked, we will be accountable, but this is not going to happen necessarily. So Allah says, جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made this law, this design, this legislation, this plan, that you become a balanced nation. This is what I want from you. This is the ummah that would be pleasing to me, which is balanced, which is moderate, which is not going to extremes. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So that not only you yourself would not suffer, you would not, you know, fail, but also you would be a good example for other nations. If a person is going to extremes, he would fail, and for sure he cannot be also a good role model. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam said, Al-Jahil, the one who is ignorant, or the one who is unwise, because you know, Jahl in Arabic sometimes means not to know, and sometimes means not to act rationally, not to act wisely. So this is why in Usul al-Kafi we have Kitabul Aql wal-Jahl, not Kitabul Ilm wal-Jahl. Jahl is opposite to be intelligent, to be rational, to be wise. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, Al-Jahil, the one who is ignorant or who is unwise, La yura, would not be seen, except unless he is mufratan or mufarratan. Either he does too much or he does too little. For a Jahil, it's very difficult to find the balance. He always does something out of balance. This is the problem. This can be a problem for one person. This can be a problem for a community. We have to find the balance. If we follow the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is explained in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet, we can be that balanced community. And then other people can learn from us. لَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And the Prophet also would be a witness for you. So you follow the Prophet and other nations would follow you. So we act as a helper for the Prophet. It is through us that people should know about the Prophet. It is by looking at our behavior that people should be inspired to follow the example of the Prophet. Because how many people have access to the Prophet directly? How many people know about his Sunnah? How many people know Arabic? How many people have, you know, ability to read the text? Many people come to know about Islam by looking at our behavior. If you have a Muslim neighbor, then you automatically think that he is representing his religion. So whatever that person does, then you think that is the teaching of Islam. This is very natural. People are not that sophisticated that say, no, I have to go to the sources and find out whether this person is a real, typical, you know, Muslim, or he is just a Muslim who is not practicing. Many people don't have that complexity, that sophistication in their understanding. They look at people and they judge the same way that we do. When we see, for example, there is a person who is a troublemaker and he belongs to a religion, we think all the people who belong to that religion, that they have this problem. Sometimes, you know, people see that there are, for example, some Christians who propagate against Islam. They have very, you know, a strong campaign against Islam. They think all the Christians are like this, but this is not the case. There are many, many Christians who condemn this. If one priest burns Quran, you shouldn't think that this is what all the Christians, you know, do or support. In the same way that if few Muslims do something, we don't say that this is the Islamic position. The same is true about other religions. But when it comes to other traditions, we generalize. When it comes to Islam, they generalize. This is the problem. For us as a Muslim, it's easy to condemn bad behavior of other Muslims. We know this is not Islamic. We know that there are Muslims who are even killing us. So for sure this is not Islamic. But someone who is outside the realm of Islam, how can he decide whether this is Islamic or this is extremism of this person or this group of people? So this is a very big problem, that people cannot through us see the light of the Prophet. People cannot through our families and communities find the beautiful teachings and makarimul akhlaq of the Prophet. This is the problem. We have done great zulm to the Prophet, and we have done great zulm to humanity, who is dying for understanding the beautiful teachings of the Prophet. So Allah has planned in the way that Rasul is shaheed for us, he is a witness for us, and by following him, and in particular by making sure that we don't go to any extreme, then we become example for other people. This shows how balance is important. Among many other qualities, Allah says this is one of the central and fundamental qualities. You know, I want to mention one example so that you realize how careful we have to be when it comes to representing Islam. I mentioned this example, you know, a few times. I was reading, you know, an interview about a few months ago about a person who used to be in Paris, in Neuf-le-Château, with Imam Khomeini. She's a lady, very active lady, and she was there, and she was responsible for looking after the guests, and also she had some other tasks, you know, checking the parcels, letters, everything, so that there is no problem. In the interview, she said, because it was difficult to find halal meat at that time in Neuf-le-Château, and also because of expense, most of the time we used to have eggs. So for lunch, for dinner, we used to have eggs. Then she said, one journalist once asked me, could you please explain what is the significance of egg in Islam? They thought, because Imam Khomeini is asking for Islamic revolution, so this must have something to do with egg. Said, no, there is nothing significant in egg. It's just because it's cheaper and available. But imagine an outsider looks at everything and thinks that there is a religious significance here. If we all, for example, you know, had, I don't know, for example, a special type of car, then they would have thought that this must be religiously significant. If we all make our houses or our dresses or food in the special way, they think this is Islamic. They don't realize that this can be just cultural, this can be just personal choice. So, if God forbids, it goes further, and from customs and cultural things goes to reach immoral behavior. For example, if they see that Muslims are greedy, Muslims are dishonest, again they think, oh, this is what their religion teaches them. Their religion teaches them that with respect to non-Muslim, you can cheat them, you can deceive them. They can easily, you know, come to this conclusion. If they see some Muslims are violent, they think, oh, this is Islam, this is the Quran which gives them this message. This is against the Quran. Allah says you have to be witness for other people as Rasulullah has been witness. Was Rasulullah, na'uzu billah, a bad example for you? Was he a person who was not balanced, who was not moderate, who was not soft and gentle, who was not kind and merciful, who was not amin? If Rasulullah had all these good qualities, why we are not showing and exhibiting the same qualities to the rest of the world? So, وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولِ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we didn't make the previous qibla, the qibla that you used to follow. As you remember, the Muslims had to say the prayer towards Jerusalem. Then it was changed. Allah says, the reason we ask you to follow the direction of qibla as the other communities used to do was to test, to try, to see who is going to follow Rasulullah and who is going to rebel and go back to Jahiliyyah. Please listen carefully. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا. We didn't make the qibla that you were following إِلَّا, except لِنَعْلَمَ, in order to know, means in order to be known. When we say to know, of course Allah knows everything, but it means to be known. مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولُ, the one who follows Rasul, مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ, distinguished from the people who go backward, go to Jahiliyyah. This is a very important point. Again, this is one example, but you can take general rule after this example. A great sign of mu'min is that he must be in control of his or her emotions. For Muslims who used to say their prayer towards Baytul Muqaddas or Jerusalem for some time, it was difficult to change the direction. Imagine for your Salat, you have always been saying prayer to one direction. Then in the middle of prayer or between two prayer, Allah says, now you have to change towards Mecca. This shift is not easy. For us today is easy because we never said our prayer to one direction and when we were supposed to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there were people that they had difficulty in accepting this because they were attached to the previous qibla. Allah says, وَإِن كَانَتْ لَكَبِيرَةً إِلَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ. It was very difficult, very painful, except for the people that Allah guided them. You are used to something and you think this is part of your religion, and indeed it was part of religion, then Allah said, now you have to change. This needs rationality preceding emotions. It's very difficult. Imagine, you know, someone, for example, has been fasting all months of Ramadan. One Ramadan, he or she is ill and fasting is harmful. You say, you must not fast. Says, I cannot. I must fast. All my life I have been fasting. How you say, you know, I should not fast? Or you say, you know, you are traveling. Say, no, I must fast. This is a problem. Why are you fasting? Are you fasting because of making a habit, because you are enjoying your fasting, or you are listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah says today you must not fast, okay, I don't fast. Tomorrow you have to fast, okay. You know, in the whole month of Ramadan we have to fast. When it comes to day of Eid, Allah says it's haram to fast. It doesn't say you don't need to fast, it's haram. Why we go through these sharp changes? Because this is a test to see how committed we are. I speak today, yes. Today you have to be silent. Okay, I have to be silent. Today you speak about Ahlul Bayt, yes. Tomorrow maybe you have to hide some of the things. Okay, I am going to hide. This is part of my requirement. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, to carry ihtimal means to carry, which means to accept and to be undertaking. Our affair, our amr, our wilaya is not just to accept, it is also to keep it protected and hidden from the people who are not supposed to know. So sometimes I have to say something and sometimes I have to keep silent. Sometimes I have to say my most beloved mottos and slogans and sometimes I have to hide. This is a matter of mu'min being in control of his emotions and habits. Allah says this is very difficult. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ لَكَبِيرَةً إِلَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ. This is very difficult except for the people that Allah has guided them. I remember I mentioned a few examples to make things clear. I hope these examples would not offend anyone and would not make discussion, you know, controversial. So please try to think rationally and not emotionally. And I remember when I was in Manchester, one of the things we used to do was we used to invite our Muslim brothers from Sunni mosque to celebrate the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam together. And it was also giving us opportunity to also celebrate the birth of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So when the time of Salat came and we were celebrating this in UMIST, those who have been in Manchester know that we used to hire hall from the university. So I said to one of the brothers who was doing PhD also that please, when you say Azan, don't say Ashadu Anna Ali al-Waliullah. Because our Sunni brothers are here, they're imams, you know, everyone. And this is not wajib for us. And I don't want them to leave. And I don't want them to not, you know, come anymore in future. He said, no. All my life I have said Ashadu Anna Ali al-Waliullah and I'm not going, you know, to stop this. I am sure some of you also here may, you know, feel the same. But for me it was not, you know, easy to understand. As a mu'min, you have to see what suits the interest of Ahlul Bayt and the school of Ahlul Bayt, especially when this is something that all ulama and maraja say this is not part of Azan. Yes, we say it 99.99% of the time, but maybe 1% or, you know, less than that, there are occasions that we don't say it. This is not part of our iman, this is not part of our fiqh. This is a slogan, this is a motto, this is our aqidah, but not wajib. But how many people are ready to do like this? Many people know it. Maybe for them, this is one of the most fundamental wajibs to say this during Azan and Iqamah. And we know this is not wajib. The late Ayatollah Behishti, when he was sent by Ayatollah Burujerdi to Hamburg, to Imam Ali Mosque, he did two things, and still these two things are bearing fruits. One was that he said, we don't say Ashadu Anna Aliyan Waliullah. And the second is, instead of Torba, we use Hasir. So still Sunnis go to that mosque. After 50 years, they go to that mosque, they say Salat, they say Jum'ah, everything. Isn't this better than just saying something or doing something which is not wajib and then isolating ourselves from the majority of ummah? But this is very difficult. إِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ. It's very difficult because we are too much attached. Something which is not wajib, we think it is wajib. It's more than wajib. So, we as community, we have to be balanced when it comes to emotions and when it comes to rationality. To be too rational is not good. You know, there are people who are very rational, you know, too much, as if they have no emotion, no tear, no crying, no personal feeling. This is not good. Islam is not just a school of philosophy. Philosophers, you know, apart from those who have faith and iman, normally their discussion is very abstract, very dry, very rigid. Islam is a religion of aql and heart, intellect and heart together. But just aql without emotions, without love, is not working. And just emotions without aql is not working. We have to have both. And when we have both, then the second question comes. Which one should be the leader? Emotion or aql? For many people, their aql follows their emotions. But as Muslims, as followers of Ahlul Bayt, our aql must be our leader. Why? Because aql is hujjah of Allah. Imam Kazim alayhi salam said to Hisham ibn Hakam, "Inna lillahi ta'ala 'ala an-nas hujjatayn, hujjatan zahira wa hiya al-anbiya' wa ar-rusul wa hujjatan batina wa hiya al-aql." Aql is the hujjah of Allah. You can never find any hadith which says emotions are hujjah of Allah. For example, sometimes I look at someone, I don't like him. Is this a hujjah? I say, this is a bad person. I have to, you know, cut my relation with him because I don't like his face. No, this is not a hujjah. Maybe you love someone and he's a bad person. Maybe you love and he's a good person. Maybe you hate someone and he's a good person. Our emotions are not hujjah. They cannot prove anything. Yes. If your emotions originate from your intellectual understanding, which is guided by the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, by the teaching of Quran, and by interpretation of qualified scholars, those emotions are very valuable. No one can say how valuable those emotions are. But if your emotions are just wild emotions, it can be stimulated by just a beautiful, you know, recitation or voice without understanding. The person who up to yesterday was, you know, singing in a pub, from today is reciting, for example, you know, something for Muharram, then you feel very good. These emotions may not necessarily have significance. This is a professional singer, you know, today was singing for this reason, yesterday for another, tomorrow for something. You as community have to understand that the most important thing is following the example of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam by ma'rifah. And that ma'rifah should bring love, should bring attachment, should bring huzn, and should bring joy. I decided to read a few hadiths about this important point, and I hope inshallah we all rationally follow this discussion. You know, I am very worried that people, you know, may sometimes misunderstand this important point, but I have responsibility to say this, you know, anyway. Imam Reza alayhi salam, in his famous hadith to Ibn Shabib, you must have heard part of this hadith because frequently mentioned about Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Ya ibn Shabib, in kunta bakiyan fabki lil Husayn. Fabki lil Husayn ibn Ali, fa innahu dhubha kama yudhbahu al kabsh. O son of Shabib, if you are going to cry for anything and for anyone, try to cry for Husayn ibn Ali. That is the most important thing for which you can cry. Even if you have sometimes, you know, personal problems, or, you know, if you lose your dear ones, still it's better to cry for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Even if you cry for that person, somehow connected to the cry for Imam. Alhamdulillah, we have this habit in community that when we lose someone, we have funeral, we mention the musibah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Why? Because Imam was killed in a very brutal way. فَإِنَّهُ ذُبِحَ كَمَا يُذْبَحُ الْكَبْشُ. I cannot translate, unfortunately. It is very painful. وَقُتِلَ مَعَهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ ثَمَانِيَةَ عَشَرَ رَجُلًا. And 18 men of Ahlul Bayt, out of 72 or some 70, 18 were from Ahlul Bayt. They were killed. مَا لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ شَبِيهُونَ. None of these 18 had similars in the world. You could not find anyone like those 18. You couldn't find anyone like Abul Fazl, anyone like Ali Akbar, anyone like Ali Asghar. Then Imam continued and reached this point. Yabna Shabib, in sarraka an takuna ma'ana fi darajat al-ula min al-jinan. If it makes you happy to be with us in the highest levels of heaven, fahzan lihuznina wafrah lifarahina. Try to be sad and to have grief for our sadness and grief, and try to be happy for our happiness. Because when you love someone, then automatically when that person is happy, you feel happy. And when that person is sad, you feel sad. It's natural. I cannot love you and when you suffer, I feel, you know, relaxed. In some other lectures, I have explained that especially this is true about sadness. The unity that is established between two people who share happiness is much weaker than the unity which is needed when two people share sadness. You know, sometimes a person has a birthday party. They invite you, you go there and you are happy. You don't know that person, you don't have that much affinity. But to smile, to laugh, to eat cake together, it's not difficult. I can, you know, share this experience with many people. But someone says, my father has passed away, please, you know, come to the funeral. Then, can you easily cry for him? No, it's not easy. You only cry for that person if your heart is really united with that person and you feel that his musibah is your musibah, his suffering is your suffering. This sympathy is based on strong unity which cannot be tested when you smile together, when you celebrate together. So the power of crying and sadness and grief is much more than being happy. You know that there are some communities, you know, some sects in Shia Islam, they don't have any sad occasion. You know, the Ismaili community, they only celebrate happy occasions for Ahlul Bayt, only birth anniversaries. Maybe there are exceptions, I don't know, but as far as I know. And I asked one of them, what is the reason for that? Why you don't, you know, commemorate the tragic events? And he explained that, you know, we want to, you know, be happy and we want to, you know, celebrate their happy occasions. And, you know, he said things that in my understanding, I don't want to judge and I don't want to blame anyone, but in my understanding was not convincing. I think that is not enough to say, you know, we want to, for example, you know, remember their birth, you know, get lesson from their life, you know, something. He said, you know, for us, their life is more important than death, you know, something like this. I think it's not enough. This is just one side of the picture. We need to remember their happy occasions and their sad occasions, and in particular, we have to be able to mourn for their suffering and to have pain for their suffering, because we are one family, we are united. So Imam said, fahzan lihuznina wafrah lifarahina wa alayka biwilayatina. But this is not enough. This is to begin with. The most important thing is wilaya, alayka biwilayatina. You have to follow us. It's not just enough to cry for someone or to, you know, laugh and smile for someone. Sometimes we feel very sad for some people, but we don't follow them. We see on the, for example, on TV, we see, you know, poor people in some countries. We feel very bad. We cry for them. But are we going to follow them? I see an orphan who has lost his parents in an earthquake. I'm going to cry really, but I'm going to follow that orphan. So to have this emotional relation is important, but the most important thing is wilayah. In our own family, when my brothers, my sisters, my children, my cousins, my uncles, aunts, they have problem, I cry for them. But I'm not going to follow them necessarily. وَعَلَيْكَ بِوِلَايَتِنَا. You have to follow us. Sometimes you see that there are people who love Ahlul Bayt, but to a limited extent. They love only on the surface. They cry for Ahlul Bayt. They celebrate their happy occasions. But when it comes to their lifestyle, they don't follow the example of Ahlul Bayt. They have other lifestyles. The way they dress, the way they keep their houses, the way they relate to opposite gender. Nothing is like Ahlul Bayt. So this is not enough. عَلَيْكَ بِوِلَايَتِنَا. You have to follow us. So love can be verified, can be approved when leads to obedience. I say to one alim, for example, Maulana, I love you. I'm very much, you know, interested in you. He says, thank you very much. Then he says, now that you love me, my dear son, please say your salat, you know, on time. He says, no, Maulana, you know, I have, you know, busy life. He says, okay, please, you know, don't look at Namahram. No, Maulana, you know, I have, you know, unfortunately, you know, this pressure from inside, I have to look at Namahram, you know. I'm getting to married, so I have to see thousands of ladies. Maybe one day I choose one of them. So this Maulana, whatever he says, I say, I love you, I respect you, but I do my own things. This person is saying, are you ridiculing me? What type of love is this? What type of respect is this? You respect me, but you do your own things. I prefer if you don't respect me and listen to me. It's better if you shout at me, but you listen what I say. So how can we say to Ahlul Bayt that we love you, but we do our own things? We say to Imam Hussein, we love you, but we are not like you to stop even the battle and say our prayer on time in Jama'ah. We are not like that. We are not even able to stop watching a football game. So how can I say I am following Imam Hussein? Is it acceptable? Imam Hussein alayhi salam is welcoming his enemies and giving them water. And we are denying even love and mercy to our own, you know, people. Sometimes you see, you know, husband and wife have problem and it leads, you know, to separation. Then this man is not giving right of divorce to the lady and says, you know, till end of your life you have to suffer. I'm not going to divorce you. This is the school of Ahlul Bayt. In any way, this has come to an end. You are not going to live together. So why she should suffer till end of her life? How can you do this with a lover of Ahlul Bayt? How can you do this with an animal? That you make that animal for end of life imprisoned. It's not possible. So we have to always try to follow the example of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Not just, you know, say we cry for you. وَعَلَيْكَ بِوِلَايَتِنَا فَلَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا أَحَبَّ حَجَرًا لَحَشَرَهُ اللَّهُ مَعَهُ. If you really love something or someone, you will be resurrected with that thing. If day and night you think about a stone, then you will be resurrected with that stone. I don't know how many people who are going to be resurrected with their mobile phones. Because they can never, you know, get rid of these mobile phones. So it's very difficult. We are so much used to our cars, to our houses, to our, you know, titles. And you cannot say, you know, I am going to be resurrected with all these things and Ahlul Bayt. It's not possible. You have to be careful. By the way, I'm not against anyone who is using mobile now, because I know many people are making notes. It's just a general observation. Please, you know, feel free and use your mobile phones. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to a person called Misma' ibn Abdul Malik, Ama tazkuru ma sun'a bih? Don't you remember what was done with Hussein alayhi salam? قلت بلى قال أتجزع. When you remember, do you lament? Do you feel sad? قلت إي والله. I said, yes, by Allah, when I remember the tragedy of Karbala, I feel very sad. وأستعبر بذلك. My tears also come. حتى يرى أهلي أثر ذلك علي. To the extent that my family see this, the effect of this on me, they see it. You know, this is very important when it comes to Muharram, especially the first 10 days of Muharram. We should try to have different lifestyle. We should try to change some of the things. We should not, you know, laugh and, you know, joke as much as possible. We should not go to, you know, places, you know, that normally we go when we are happy. So he said, my family would see that I am a different person. فَأَمْتَنِعُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ. Even I cannot eat. When I remember the tragedy of Karbala, I cannot eat. Sometimes, you know, I think this is not a good habit, but you can have your own view. Sometimes, for example, you know, we watch, for example, you know, on TV, or, you know, listen to recording about the tragedy of Karbala, and then we eat. I think this is not good. When it's something so serious is being played, either you have to watch carefully or you have to switch off. This is not good, you know, to do these things together. So he said, I stop eating. Hatta yastabina dhalika fi wajhi. And then people can see this in my face. They see that I am sad. It's not pretending, it's natural. You know, sometimes you have a problem in work. As soon as you reach home, your wife says, you know, what happened? It's clear on your face that you have a problem. A person who is suffering for Imam Hussein, everyone naturally understands that this person has a problem. You don't need to pretend. It's natural. Faqal, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Rahimallahu dama'atak. May Allah have mercy on your tears. So beautiful. The tear which is shed for Imam Hussein is so important. The Imam says, Rahimallahu dama'atak. Then Imam said, Ama innaka min alladhina yu'adduna min ahl al-jaza'i lana. In this case, you are counted as one of the people who lament for us. So you are qualified to be counted as one of those people. So it's not easy. Everyone, you know, can say, I am one of the mourners for Hussein. To be a mourner for Hussein is a very high, you know, quality, why, in a very high caliber. وَالَّذِينَ يَفْرَحُونَ لِفَرَحِنَا وَيَحْزَنُونَ لِحُزْنِنَا. Those who are happy when we are happy, and those who are sad when we are sad. Amma, this is a great bishara for true mourners of Hussein alayhi salam. Amma إِنَّكَ سَتَرَى عِنْدَ مَوْتِكَ حُضُورَ آبَائِي لَكَ. When you are going to die, you would see my fathers. Imam Sadiq referring to Imam Baqir, all up to Rasulullah. They will be present when you are dying. وَوَسِيَّتَهُمْ مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ بِكْ. They will say to the angel of death, this is a lover of Hussein, this is a mourner of Hussein, please be kind with him. وما يلقونك به من البشارة أفضل. In addition to that, they give you some good news, some bishara, which is much more than this. So not only they make the process of departure from this dunya easy, they also give you some good news. And then Imam said, وَمَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ. May Allah, inshallah, give us tawfiq to be treated like this. وَمَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ أَرَقُ عَلَيْكَ وَأَشَدُّ رَحْمَةً لَكَ مِنَ الْأُمِّ الشَّفِيقَةِ عَلَى وَلَدِهَا. After that, the angel of death becomes softer and more merciful for you than mother for her child. This is for a true follower of Hussein. Then Imam went on and reached this point. مَا بَكَى أَحَدٌ رَحْمَةً لَنَا وَلِمَا لَقَيْنَا إِلَّا رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ قبل أن تخرج الدمعة من عينه. There is no one who cried for us because he has rahmah for us. He feels, you know, great love for us. He is very attached to us. And he is very affected by what we have seen. So no one cries like this, except that Allah will send His mercy to him before his tears come out of his eyes. قبل أن تخرج الدمعة. So when you are sad from bottom of your heart, that's the beginning of Allah's rahmah coming. But فَإِذَا صَالَ دُمُوءُهُ عَلَى خَدِّهِ. But if the tears come, which means that the power is so high that the tears come out and starts coming on your cheek. Then Imam says, فَلَوْ أَنَّ قَطْرَةً مِنْ دُمُوعِهِ سَقَطَ فِي جَهَنَّمْ لَأَطْفَأَتْ حَرَّهَا. If one drop of tear is put in hell, then it would not be burning. This is for true mourner. This is for the one who has ma'rifah of Imam, obedience of Imam, and love for Imam, so that his suffering and the suffering of Imam are the same. His joy and the joy of Imam is the same. This is what we have to achieve. There are some other hadiths and some important points. Inshallah, I will continue, because I think this is one of the most important things for us today. This balance between rationality and emotion. This is something that we have to achieve. Inshallah, we continue this discussion. Please feel free, you know, to send me your comments, but please be careful in judging about what I said, because this is a very important topic and we need to be really patient with this important topic. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would increase our love for Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and enable us to follow their example, inshallah. Today we remember a very important figure whose importance is because of his freedom, because of his ability to be able to resist against temptations coming from dunya. A person that dunya offered him fame, money, position, everything, but he said no. And that is Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. You are all familiar with the story of Hurr, but in remembering, there is benefit for us. Maybe inshallah we also somehow can become like Hurr and to follow the example of Hurr. According to the historical books, it was in one of the stations between Medina and Karbala. According to some, it was in Bani Muqatil, that Imam alayhi salam and his army were faced with the group of soldiers who were commanded by Hurr ibn Yazid. It was shortly before the time of Salat al-Zuhr. So when the time of Salat al-Zuhr arrived, فَأَمَرَ الْحُسَيْنَ الْحَجَّاجِ ابْنِ مَسْرُوقٍ أَنْ يُؤَذِّنَ. For Hussein, Salat is something which is the most important thing. For Hussein, when he says Salat is khayrul amal, it's really khayrul amal. So nothing can even delay Salat of Hussein. So he said, say Salat, Azan for Salat. Then, فَلَمَّا حَضَرَتِ الْإِقَامَةِ, when Iqama for Salat was said, Imam alayhi salam came for Salat. He asked her, what are you going to do? They said, we are going to follow you. They said their Salat with Imam. And then after that, there was Salat Asr. And Imam alayhi salam gave a short speech, because Imam always was looking for opportunity to give some kind of warning, some kind of advice, so that maybe someone, you know, remembers, someone, you know, may change. So Imam alayhi salam said that, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ فَإِنَّكُمْ إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَتَعْرِفُوا الْحَقَّ لِأَهْلِهِ يَكُونُ أَرْضَى لِلَّهِ أَنْكُمْ. Imam said to the army of Hur, O people, if you have taqwa, if you follow the will of Allah and recognize the right of people, it would be better for you, it would be pleasing Allah more. وَنَحْنُ أَحْلُ بَيْتِ مُحَمَّدٍ أَوْلَى بِوِلَايَةِ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُدَّعِينَ. We, the household of the Prophet, have more rights than these people who claim to be Khalifa of Rasulullah. And then Imam alayhi salam said that the reason I have come here is because I have received your letters. You invited me to come here. In this point, Hur said, "Ana wallah ma adri ma hadhihi al-kutub wa rusul." He said, "By Allah, I don't know what are these letters. I have never sent you a letter." You know, he was not one of those people who invited Imam and, you know, betrayed. He was an honest person. So he said, "I have not done anything, and I don't know of any of these letters. I have a command, you know, to stop you." So he said, "Lasna min ha'ula alladhina katabu ilayk." We are not one of those people who have written to you, and we are asked to not let you to go to any place and take you to Kufa. So Imam alayhi salam said, "Al-mawtu adna ilayka min dhalik." Death is nearer to you than achieving what you want. So Imam alayhi salam then after that said to his own people, "Qumu farkabu." Stand up, we want to move. "Farrakibu wantadhara hatta rakibat nisa'uh." Then Imam waited till ladies also got ready. And then he said, now we should move. At this point, this is a very important point. "Hala al-qawmu baynahum wa baynal insiraf." Then Hur and his army didn't let Imam move. فقال الحسين للحر ثكلتك أمك ما تريد. May your mother mourn for you. What do you want? Why you stop me and these ladies and children to move? فقال له الحر أما لو غيرك من العرب يقولها لي وهو على مثل الحال التي أنت عليها ما تركت ذكر أمه بالثكل. If any Arab other than anyone in the whole Arabs had said something like this, I would have also said the same to him, that may your mother mourn for you. But لكن والله ما لي من ذكر أمك من سبيل. But by Allah, I cannot mention anything about your mother. I cannot even wish your mother mourn for you. Of course, this saying of Imam Hussein alayhi salam indeed was good for Hur, to awake him and to warn him. But at the same time, he was very polite, very respectful, especially to the lady Fatima. One of the keys of success for anyone is to show love and respect to lady Fatima. So he said, I cannot do anything. Then Imam said, so what do you want? He said, I have to take you to Amir Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. Then Imam said, Idhan wallahi la attabi'uk. By Allah, I am not going to come with you. I'm not going to come to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. And discussion was going on. I don't want to delay you. And finally, the decision was that Hur said, I don't have mission, I don't have command to fight you. So if you just don't move towards Kufa, then I can, you know, get send a message and, you know, wait for that, and I just escort you. So Imam was moving, and Hur with army were just escorting Imam till they had the response back from the Ubaidullah. So what I want to mention is then the very last moments of life of Hur. So as you know, Hur, on the day of Ashura, when of course he had somehow finished his job, because his job was to escort Imam and not let Imam go anywhere. But on the day of Ashura, he was very much thinking and very much concerned. What am I going to do? Am I going to be watching what is going to happen to Hussein? I didn't kill Hussein, I didn't fight Hussein, but I was responsible for bringing Hussein to this stage. What am I going to do? So he was really worried, his body was shaking. So one of the people who knew Hur, who was called Al-Muhajir, said, Ma turidu yabna Yazid, because his father was Yazid, Jabir ibn Yazid. What is happening to you? I have never seen you frightened. You are very brave. Why you are, you know, frightened today? Do you want to attack and you are frightened? So Hur said, Inni wallahi ukhayyaru nafsi bayna al-jannati wan-nar. By Allah, I am seeing myself in a position to choose hell or heaven. Of course, this is our own situation all the time, but Hur was, you know, someone who was aware of that. Every day, me and you are also in that same position, that we are choosing either hell or heaven. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we maybe not say, maybe not do, everything can be a choice between hell and heaven. وَوَاللَّهُ لَا أَخْتَارُ عَلَى الْجَنَّةِ شَيْئًا. By Allah, I am not going to choose anything over heaven. وَلَوْ قُطِعْتُ وَحُرِّقْتُ. Even if they make my body into pieces, and even if they burn me. This is something that we should also remember. No matter what is the situation, no matter what is the offer or what is the risk or what is, you know, the, I don't know, interest or loss, never choose anything over heaven. This is something that we have to remember. Then he went towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but he is worried. Maybe it's too late. How can I achieve heaven? Perhaps he was thinking the maximum he can do is just to reduce his azab. Just by not remaining in the army of Ibn Ziyad, perhaps a little azab can be reduced. He was not very hopeful. But he went anyway towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said, O Hussein, I have come with great regret. I am the one who has stopped you. I am the one who has brought your family, your children all here. Halli min tawbah. Is it possible for me to be forgiven? Is there any chance for me to return? Then Imam said, Na'am. Without any discussion, without any question, without saying you have done bad things but I forgive you. No, Na'am. This is the love of Hussein. This is the mercy of Hussein. Na'am. This is the example of a mu'min like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah says, when you have committed sins, I am forgiving you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الظُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Inshallah, tonight we all also return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah for forgiveness. So Hussein said, "Na'am yatubullahu alayk." Allah is going to accept your tawbah wa yaghfiru lak. Then Hur asked Imam alayhi salam to be the first person who goes to battle. As you know, Imam alayhi salam gave him the permission. And when Hur went for battle and came and then went for battle and people and enemies attacked him, Imam alayhi salam went to the body of Hur and still he had a little life. Imam said, "Bakhan, bakhan, ya Hur. Well done, Hur. Anta Hurun kama sammatka ummuk. You are really a free man. You are really a noble man. You freed yourself from shaitan and from dunya and from temptations." There is a beautiful poem I want to read and translate. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati allat bifnaik. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبغي الليل والنار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Hur is saying to Imam in the way which is imagined by this poet, سوار گم شده را از میان را گرفتی او حسین, this person who was lost, you helped him and guided him. چه ساده سید خودت را به یک نگاه گرفتی. How easily with one look you took this prey of yours. شبیه کشتی نوحی نه مهربان تر از اویی. O Hussein, you are like the sheep of Nuh that offers salvation. But no, you are more merciful because you saved Hur ibn Yazid and that sheep couldn't save the son of Nuh. که هر بد شده را هم تو در پناه گرفتی. You even offered refuge to Hur who was a bad person. Then Hur continues, چنان به سینه فشردی مرا که جز تو اگر بود. حسین فاطمه می گفتم اشتباه گرفتی. When I came to you, you embraced me and hugged me in the way that if it was anyone other than you, I would have thought maybe you don't know that I am Hur. Maybe you don't remember that I am the person who stopped you and brought you here. من آمدم که تو را با سپاه و تیر بگیرم. I came with army, with soldiers, with arrows and swords to stop you and arrest you. مرا به تیر نگاهی تو بی سپاه گرفتی. But you arrested me with just one look of love that you looked at me. بگو چرا نشوم آب که دست یخ زدم را دویدی و نرسیده به خیمگاه گرفتی. Oh Hussein, how can I not die out of embarrassment when I remember that my hand which was frozen, which had no life, you came and took in your hand. چنان تبسم گرمی نشانده ای به لبانت که از دل نگرانم مجال آه گرفتی. With such a nice smile you looked at me that all my worries went away, Hussein. رسید زخم سرم تا به دستمال سفیدت. When you put your white handkerchief on my wounds of red, تو شرم را هم از این صورت سیاه گرفتی. You removed shame from my dark face, O Hussein. الا لعنت الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون. يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين.